What's up, everybody? This is Healing Intentions, and I'm your host, Dr. Adrian Mimetti. This podcast is about natural health and wellness, mental health, cannabis, psychedelics, philosophy, and spirituality. Today, my guest is Levi Barker. Levi is a Bwiti Iboga provider at Iboga Wellness Center in Costa Rica. With over 12 years of experience with Iboga, Levi administers Iboga to those feeling called to use Iboga as a life advancement tool. Let's get started. All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Healing Intentions. Today, I have Levi Barker from Iboga Wellness Center. Welcome, Levi.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Of course, of course. I'm really grateful that you reached out to me, actually, and looked a little bit into your wellness center there in Costa Rica and everything that you guys are doing, and was really impressed. And you know, I don't know too much about Iboga myself, so I'm really excited to learn, and all of my listeners to learn along with me and kind of hear more about your story.
Beautiful. That's the plan. I feel like it's my job to get the word out to the world about Iboga.
Absolutely. Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and launch into it? Kind of tell us your background, your story, kind of how you ended up in that center right now. And, you know, if you don't mind.
Oh, wow. There's a lot in there. Maybe briefly, I'll just go over Iboga. Iboga is a plant that grows naturally in West Central Africa. So it grows, you know, mainly in the Gabon area, but it's also in Cameroon, the Congo, some in Angola. And so it's that's the second biggest rainforest in the world after the Amazon, is that area of Africa. So it's a rainforest plant. And it typically gets spread by elephants. They're one of the main seed spreaders of the Iboga plant, and some other animals actually eat on the Iboga as well, including elephants, and also porcupines have been known to eat the Iboga root. So you can think of Iboga as a life advancement tool. The properties of the medicine are to get us to know about ourselves and also about what life is for us. And it's really apparent once somebody has this medicine that is what this tool does. And so Iboga is very ancient medicine. You know, I think looking back, a lot of people think we came from Africa, and most likely probably in the Gabon area, which very well could be kind of the Garden of Eden of the earth. And it's very ancient medicine, and you can feel it when you ingest Iboga. Mm-hmm. But it was originally used by the pygmy people, the forest dwelling people in West Africa there, and they discovered it and started using it, and they kept it secret for quite a while, and they didn't let any other people know about it until at some point they decided, okay, we're gonna share it. And so they shared it with other African tribes and ethnic groups, and there was a tradition born out of that called Bwiti. And Bwiti is somebody that uses Iboga to study life, at least in our tradition. Somebody that uses Iboga as a tool to study life itself. And so what they realized is there was very consistent messages that kept coming from Iboga, just about the human life in general. And so there was a tradition that born out of it called Bwiti, which is a spiritual path, and has to do with knowing ourselves and knowing our place on this earth and how to live life. And so, I was introduced to Iboga about 13 years ago. I was one of the opiate addicts, like kind of the first generation of like the pharmaceutical just injection of mass opiates into society. Mm-hmm. And go briefly over it, because Iboga is so much more, but Iboga is the only thing that can actually stop physical withdrawal symptoms of opiates, the only known thing anyways. And so it's known pretty well for that. And so my first time having it, I had a detox with Iboga about 13 years ago. And from that point of just seeing its power, I knew I wanted to work with it. It ended up being another 7 years though to get there. And so it's really good for opiate detox. It's also good for a lot of other things as well. A lot of people today take SSRIs, and when they stop, they just don't feel right. They feel out of whack. So we get a good percentage of people that come here to deal with that. But really, when it gets down to it, people come to learn about living and living life, and that involves the whole human experience. And so, yeah, the Boga really teaches people about their own mind and how they think and what they tell themselves and how they make decisions. So it just really livens up all of your senses so that you're just very aware of what you're doing day to day, the decisions you're making, what are you caring about? It really teaches people how to live at its core. And that would be, that's the main property of it, is like learning to live life. And we were all given the gift of life. We're all worthy to live a good life. And so we need to learn how to be. A big part of living is just being. And in the West, we get quite uncomfortable with that, Want to have goals and plans and things we want to do, but we need to be okay with just being with ourselves too.
Absolutely. Wow, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow, you said a lot of amazing things in there that I could go through, but one of them that really stands out is it's the only known thing that we're aware of that helps to physically detox people off of opioids. That's huge. And I'm really passionate about getting the message out there about how messed up this whole opioid crisis has been and how it's just been, there's a really good documentary series on Netflix, The Pharmacist, where they go over that and how, pharmacists kind of knew about this back then and they saw the train kind of coming and we're still dealing with it, and it affects so many people. I know so many people personally that have had somebody they've lost or, really suffered greatly because of opiates. So the fact that there's something out there that exists in nature that's able to help people so dramatically was just is just beautiful. And I think that, like you said, it has many other uses, just like a lot of these other psychedelics. That this resurgence that's been coming out, they're studying them for one use, but then there's many other uses. And like you said, it's about learning how to live life. And once you learn how to do that, all of these quote unquote conditions can kind of go away. And so that's beautiful. What I'm curious about, Levi, is how does Iboga specifically differ from the other psychedelics? I've kind of heard, on other podcasts and things about how it's very different than very other psychedelics. Like the experience itself is very, can be not pleasant. I've heard it people say that it kind of brings you to like your death or your multiple deaths, or of your whole like of your life and things like that. Aubrey Marcus talks about it on his podcast. So yeah, I'd love to hear from kind of your perspective how it's different and how it's similar kind of to the other psychedelics that are out there.
Yeah, that's cool. You mentioned Aubrey Marcus. Like he just briefly him doing his Joe Rogan podcast. It must have been 10 years ago or so now. Like, yeah, that was one of the biggest things to happen for Iboga and kind of bringing it into people's consciousness. So yeah, he definitely had a hand in, spreading some healing to people through that.
Awesome.
But yeah, the Iboga, is one of the seven master plants. You got Iboga, San Pedro, Peyote, Amanita, what, Toay, and missing one.
Is
And
ayahuasca one of them?
there you go. Yep, ayahuasca. And of course, you got mushrooms in there too. But They're kind of its own class of things. And but yeah, so Iboga, like you said, is the longest lasting of those. The intense part of the experience can go anywhere from 12 to 24 hours. Usually, though, by 16 or so hours, most people are coming back around and things are slowing down. Yeah, it's like you said, it's not a pleasant experience. You definitely come to this medicine with a reason and some clear goals in mind. Knowing what you want from the experience. And the experience itself can go many different ways. Visions can be involved, or maybe not. Maybe 50% of people have some sort of visions, whether it's geometric things appearing to full on immersion into a specific point in their life or in the womb. That can definitely happen, but that's not necessary for healing though. So some people don't have it and still get all the benefits of the medicine. It can make you off balance. And so here, whenever anybody needs to move around, we have a hold of them under their arm and just get them to wherever they need to go and just make sure nobody falls. So it can make you kind of off balance. And for the most part, people just want to lay down. So a large part of the ceremony is laying there and letting the medicine do its work on you. And people don't purge as much orally, say, as ayahuasca. Maybe 60% of people do at some point, but definitely there can be other physical detox symptoms. Like a common one is to pee a lot. There can be some sweating happening, a little bit of trembling. It really goes through and fires up the neurological system, and people can feel that as it's going through their body. They can feel things being reactivated and connected. And so it's a really, it's a deep experience. During that process, we do a thing called a guided journey here, which is essentially a Bwiti technique to take somebody inside themselves and meet their own soul or higher self or however they choose to look at that, and they can get questions answered. So that's one of the unique properties of Iboga, is you can ask it direct questions and get direct answers back from it. And what's beautiful about that is they're very applicable. They make sense. They're not confusing. There's a difference if somebody's shedding negativity and stuff like that. Like, that can definitely come into their consciousness, but once they fully come around through the experience, they'll know, the truth of what was meant to be learned during that experience. And so yeah, they can get clear answers on, big life questions. How do I move past depression, or why do I have anxiety? Simple things like that, and get a direct answer back. Yeah, it's really powerful. And a lot of times, that comes down to the way people think. Within our tradition in the Bwiti, we look at depression as kind of living and making decisions from the past and always going back there. And anxiety is always going into the future and, creating these wild stories of just darkness, and so, yeah, that's one of the properties of Iboga too, is it's really teaches people about their mind, like on a deep level, like makes you very aware of your thoughts. And of course, what we think is super important. Every thought we have sends a vibration through our body and gives us a feeling inside, and based on how we're feeling, that's where we're going to make decisions from that place. And so yeah, for a lot of people, getting a mind detox is a big, one of the big gifts of the medicine. Like, when that happens during an Iboga journey, essentially what happens is the mind goes into overdrive and starts going through just these looping thoughts that have no conclusion. And so, we prep everybody well and just let them know, like, if that starts happening, you don't have to follow it. You don't have to try and make sense of it. And so just get, thousands of thoughts every minute or something, where the mind is just clearing things out, going through the filing cabinet and just throwing things out. And once people come back around the following day, wake up in the morning, they just have all this space in their mind now. You know, the stuff that didn't need to be there has been cleared out, and now they have a choice on what they're gonna put into it. So, you know, there's the mind detox. It's definitely a deep physical detox as well. You know, we're careful here with, you know, what Iboga can do physically, but in general, it's really good for neurologically. So, you know, we've had people with neuropathy or Lyme's and things like that come through where it's been helpful. It's been helpful to people with inflammation and ligament and joint problems, you know, arthritis and things like that. Mm-hmm. But for sure, everybody that comes through just gets a very deep physical cleanse where you can definitely see it on them afterwards. You know, people just look brighter and healthier, and it almost looks like most people shed at least 3-4 years of age on their face. So yeah, so it hits us on all levels. We got the spiritual, you know, we also have the spiritual plane and the emotions in there. So it goes to work on that, the mind, the body. So it really is just, you know, there's no miracles out there, but this is a really powerful tool on putting, you know, putting it back together, getting things in place, getting you back to baseline, and, you know, kind of giving you just a fresh start.
Yeah, that sure sounds like it. And you know, the reason that I'm so passionate about psychedelics myself personally and the applications in, you know, medicine is that, you know, from a naturopathic medicine standpoint, we really treat the whole person. You know, we're really holistic minded and we're treating the mind, the body, the spirit. It's always all connected, you know, and we're all about getting to the root cause. You know, instead of just covering up the symptoms with medications or even natural supplements, you know, hey, you have to stay on this supplement the rest of your life. It's like, well, what is that really solving, you know? And so I really like these psychedelic tools because they're the ultimate tool in helping to get to the root cause, which oftentimes for people ends up being that mental, emotional stuff. You know, you could eat healthy, you could work out all day, you could do all the right stuff, but if you don't have the deeper mental, emotional stuff fixed, you're going to have issues, you know, even physical issues. That's oftentimes what's the cause of all of our issues is the mental, emotional, and the spiritual, you know, much deeper things. So yeah, you can get there through talk therapy and meditation and all of these things that work. But these can be kind of, you know, like shortcuts to kind of show you, hey, this is what's really possible, you know. And then with Iboga, it seems like it acts on a much deeper level than really any of the other psychedelics, because for something to last for 24 hours, you know, that's even three times as long as ayahuasca. So that's like, wow, I can't even imagine, you know. And it's not something that I imagine people are too gravitated towards unless they have some real, you know, issues that they want to encounter. It's not like a, let me try this out today, see how it goes, kind of an experience for people, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, yeah, it's very important that you know that there's something here for you, and you're not doing it for recreational purposes. You know, we try and you know, screen people and make sure they really want it if they're going to come here. Mm-hmm. A couple people have kind of snuck through and been like, you know, psychedelic pioneers, they had tried everything and this was kind of the last on their list.
Uh-huh.
And I can think of two of them. So we do two ceremonies when people are here. I can mm-hmm. think of two of them that didn't make it to the second ceremony because, you know, they're coming just for the experience, but you have to want it for yourself, just like anything in life.
Right.
We have to want it. No medicine, no healing is going to do it without our own will inside, you know? And so that's where it starts. But yeah, it's, you have to really be called to this medicine. You know, with that said, you don't need like huge trauma either to come to this medicine and get its benefits. Mm-hmm. You know, we have plenty of people that come that just kind of feel stuck, They're not sure the next move in life. They know there's kind of something more for them. It's not quite sure what it is. And so, yeah, they can also come to Iboga and just reconnect with themselves on a deep level with what's already in there. It's already all in there. The medicine is just, getting through there and allowing you to connect with it again. And, but yeah, no, it's a very deep experience. For some people, maybe probably 20% of the people that come, 25, like they'll say, like, that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I mean, it just really, if you're going to get healed that quickly and get so many things out that we've accumulated through life, like, it's just not going to be a pleasant process. But what awaits on the other side is well worth it,
Absolutely. And it what really it's fascinating you're talking about the potential physical benefits, when you talk about neurological. I know they've even I've read articles about how they're theorizing that all these psychedelics, mushrooms and ayahuasca and things can help people with neurological, like serious neurological diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and things like that, that we have really nothing good for right now. So the fact that there's, potential plant medicines, which I know cannabis helps Parkinson's phenomenally, but it's still kind of not getting to the root cause. It's still kind of a really good natural plant that helps with the symptoms, but is it fixing it? Is it fixing the physiology? We're not really sure yet, but it sounds like with these deeper psychedelics, like they actually can go in and repair the nervous system, which sounds like magic, to Western science, but I believe it, I absolutely believe it.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely to come for Iboga. Just knowing this medicine well on a deep level, there's definitely things in there that are sure to help with like serious neurological issues. I'm not sure exactly which ones yet. I mean, just Iboga itself can be a great help, but for really debilitating, MS, Parkinson's, things like that. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's some properties in Iboga that can really help with that in a big way.
Now, I think I know your answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. The differences between ibogaine and iboga, and you prefer to use the iboga, the whole plant, correct? Versus the single constituent. And that's the whole kind of difference between, Western medicine. They want to, down to one molecule, they want to, identify and study that one molecule. And it's like, well, that's not the way nature works.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it's a very different approach. Yeah, so ibogaine is one alkaloid in the iboga plant. There's 12 or 13 other alkaloids in the plant as well, but it goes much deeper than that. Things from nature have, information and keys in them. And so, you definitely take that out with working with ibogaine. Ibogaine is could be really good. I think one of the reasons, say, ibogaine clinics use ibogaine is it goes through the body quicker. So I think for maybe the people that are doing a detox, it gets out of their system quicker. But from anybody that's ever been here that has had ibogaine, they definitely agree that the boga root bark that we serve here and total alkaloid extract, so all the alkaloids from the plant in a concentrated version in a capsule, they all say, yeah, it's a much deeper experience. And so, yeah, we do that total alkaloid extraction here all organically, just using white vinegar, natural white vinegar. And yeah, one thing that's way different too in the ibogaine clinics is they base every or they dose everybody based on their body weight. And once you've been through some of these, like that's just an insane thing to do. I mean, some people are so sensitive to it. Some people can need a whole lot. You got people in the middle, but yeah, no, that's definitely the wrong way to go about it, because everybody is just responds differently to it. So that's yeah, it's important. You want to get enough in you where you can go in deep, get the work done that you came for. Yeah, the weight, it doesn't have anything to do with your body weight or where you're from, male, female, so that's one big difference as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. How do you see the future of this whole psychedelic renaissance kind of playing out from your perspective? Because there's so many aspects to it, and there's a lot of people are saying kind of we don't want the psychedelic scene to kind of go the same way that cannabis did, with the big corporations coming in and, let's make it legalized and let's get it all out to everybody. And it they kind of ruined it, in some people's eyes. So how do you see it all kind of playing out, specifically with psychedelics, specifically then with Iboga?
Yeah, no, that's definitely coming. With the plants anyways, like it's gonna be, with these other psychedelic compounds that people are making and synthesizing and things, I think it's always gonna be tough to top nature. So you may have these other things out there, but it's already as good as it can get with the plants. You're not gonna make it better. That's for sure. So there's that part of it, and with that, there's people that have been working with these plants for hundreds, thousands of years, and working on it for healing people. So as much as you can grab that and integrate it into something where the average Westerner is comfortable, I think that's a good thing. I think anybody working with these medicines, synthetic or otherwise, should take them. They better really know what it does. And for something like, say, synthetic ibogaine or something like that, I don't know that I would want to take that, really. It's just yeah, the synthetics have a they you're taking the spirit out of the plant is a big part of it. And so it's going to give you different results. It's never going to be as good as the plant itself in, a proper healing space. With that said, I know there's a lot of people that are never going to come to Costa Rica, or they're, not going to go to the Amazon, or, but they still need the healing. And so, yeah, I think there's a, that's where it needs to be well thought out about, like, how is this space created? Is it a corporate board, deciding how this integration and this care process comes through? And so that's, yeah, you want that's why it's important that the people that are going to work with these medicines take them, because if they take them, then they're gonna get some clear guidance on, what works for the plant and what doesn't.
Absolutely. Now, is it the similar with ayahuasca where the shaman will take a little bit of the ayahuasca when they're facilitating? Do they do the same thing with Iboga? Do you take a little bit of it as well or not?
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, no, we definitely do. It's an important part of it to just, yeah, connect with the ceremony, connect with the people, be able to listen to the medicine. So I call myself an Iboga provider. That was so I in order to be called an Iboga provider, I was around and working with the medicine for about 7 years. And then there's my friend and mentor, Magenda Mikala, who gave me the blessing to serve the medicine about 6 years ago. And so yes, I had a lot of time and a lot of work to be able to get to the point to be in a spot to serve people medicine. But we definitely take it during ceremony. And then, if definitely in Africa, like through an initiation ceremony, everybody's taking it. Even if there's a little baby in the room, they're getting a little dust at least of Iboga. So if you're in that temple during ceremony, yep, everybody's taking it. Not as big as like somebody going through an initiation, but and enough to connect, that's for sure.
Wow, fascinating. That's really cool. Personally, I'm really into the djembe drum, the hand drum from West Africa. And so is that in the same regions as where Iboga is? I'm not that familiar with the geography, but Do they kind of coincide, like intersect at all?
I'm trying to think, where is the djembe from?
I think Mali, in that whole area.
Mali, yeah. So it's a little south of Mali, but yeah, in that general area, you know, you get out of, you know, you get out of the north desert part of Africa, and then it, you know, starts getting more tropical. So yeah, I bet. I'm sure there's some iboga growing in Mali. Like, if not, it definitely would. But yeah, no, drums throughout Africa are just a huge thing. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, in all kinds of different tribes and cultures. And yeah, there's, you know, there's plenty of healing practices just with the drum, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, drum circles and the whole, you know, trance state that you get into with that, and it's a very healing. They've even done studies on how drum circles are more effective for depression than SSRIs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right. I'm sure. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what have you seen in the wellness center there that you've really kind of been surprised by over the years? What's really, you know, shocked you or made you be like, wow, I didn't expect this?
Yeah, good question, man. I'm just consistently amazed at how good iboga is for somebody that wants it and is 100% into going through the experience, but then taking it and, you know, working the guidance and the lessons they needed. So yeah, how consistent it is just for a wide variety of issues, you know. I would say, what else? You know, in it, as I work with it more, integration is more and more important for the people. Mm-hmm. You know, so we do monthly group calls for anybody that's ever come to Iboga Wellness, and then we try and kind of push Iboga specific coach, not push it on him, but like really like, hey, you know, this is gonna help and you should probably do this. And for most people, they should. And so yeah, you know, refining that process, letting people, you know what to expect when they go back. You know, when we're here, it's a very sacred space. It's very positive. There's no judging. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's not the real world back home for most people. And so right. You know, to get them prepared for that experience and how to hold on to what they have and, like, you know, stay true to themselves and be good to themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess one surprising thing is the interest from kind of older people. Like, we've had a bunch of people in their 60s and like quite a few in their 70s over the last couple years come. And what's interesting about them is quite a few of them have never smoked weed before, rarely had a drink or two, you know, just living life, and they see iboga and they're like, yeah, that one sounds right for me. And
that is amazing.
So, yeah, we're blessed. We get people from all over the world that come through, you know. And so knowing that, you know, these people going back to their countries, and, you know, iboga is spreading in, you know, around the world and spreading to many, many different parts of the earth and the healing. And so that's a cool way to think about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really beautiful. I'm blessed to be able to work with it. That's for sure. Like, yeah, just really love, just want to share, you know, what iboga has given me, because I don't know if I would have made it through very well without iboga. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I understand now that I had to go there to be able to, you know, connect with myself and you know, find out what my job is. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad iboga showed up, man. That was I've been there. So when people come through and they've had a really rough life, like, you know, mine may not be the roughest, but, you know, I can relate to where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's wonderful. You know, with a lot of these psychedelics, microdosing has been something that's really become popular lately. And I'm not sure exactly how I feel about it yet. For myself personally, I haven't gotten that much benefit from it. I've tried it. I've tried microdosing mushrooms. I've tried microdosing LSD. It's interesting. You know, I can see how it could help people, definitely. But, is microdosing of iboga a thing? Do people do that? Do they get benefit out of it?
It is a thing, and they can get benefits. I think for people that need deep healing, though, they need like a couple sessions, like what we do here,
mm-hmm.
to get things moving in the right direction, and then it can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very helpful. You know, one of the things though is, you know, knowing your tolerance to it and figuring out the right dose, like it is for any of them, but right. with iboga, probably even a little bit more important, because just a little bit more can, you know, you should be able to, with iboga microdosing, once you know your dose, be able to go about your day and do the things you normally do. And, you know, you find yourself getting too emotional, flashing lights, things like that. Like you've probably taken a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it can be really, really helpful. You know, from my experience myself, like for microdosing, the ones that have been helpful have been iboga and San Pedro powder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those in small doses, those are both kind of stamina medicines as well. You know, at least in the Bwiti, you know, the hunters would go, you know, have iboga and go on 2-3 night hunts in the jungle. And, you know, so it does give you energy when you find the right dose. And it should bring, you know, some clarity and some connection to the truth in you. And it can be helpful.
Very cool. Very interesting. How did you find out about iboga? I don't know. You didn't go too much into that history, but if you don't mind sharing, I'm just curious how it found you, how you found it, you know, specifically.
Yeah. So when I was going through the opiate addiction, I have a really good friend down here in Costa Rica as well, who is really into plant medicine, and he's just a really amazing guy, and we became friends. And he mentioned iboga to me when I told him, like, hey, you know, is there any plant that can help, like, going through a detox? And he nailed it. He was like, yeah, iboga. And I was in California. I was in the middle of moving to Nicaragua at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he mentioned iboga. I studied a bit about it, but not too much. He ended up having some on hand, and I got it from him and ended up doing a home detox in Nicaragua. And mm-hmm. so that's definitely not recommended for any listeners, but I was just desperate at the time, and there wasn't really any other spot to go at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, from that point, you know, even when I first heard the word iboga, I knew there was something there for me. You know, and that seems to happen with quite a few people who are called. They hear the word, and just kind of like, for others, it's been ayahuasca or whatever, you know, whatever's mm-hmm. led them to their healing. So, yeah, in the Bwiti, we're always very conscious of our curiosity, like the things we're curious about. And, you know, curiosity can go several layers deep. So, you know, yeah, definitely pay attention into the things you're curious about. And I was able to go through my detox, and then maybe a year and a half later, our teacher Maginda started a spot called Iboga House here in Costa Rica. Mm. And so I was living in southern Nicaragua, just over the border of Costa Rica. And so I met him through that same friend that mentioned iboga to me. He had opened up a spot maybe a year earlier. My friend went there for an experience, and actually told my teacher Maginda, like, hey, you should make total alkylate extract, because at that time Maginda was doing detox work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Maginda would serve them root bark medicine off of a spoon. And the thing with root bark, like, it, if you have to take a bunch of that down, like, it gets very tough on the stomach. Mm-hmm. You know, so here we give people some of that, try and keep their stomach, you know, in a medium level, and then give them total alkaloid. It's just easier, and they don't purge as much that way. And so my friend said, hey, you should definitely make the total alkaloid extract. And so he was going to show him how to do that. He's a chemist as well. And he invited me down to help them make up this batch of total alkaloid extract. And so that's when I met our teacher, Maginda, and even like he's a very deep cat, but very humble and very down to earth as well. But I had never really experienced shamanic stuff at that point. This is like 13 years ago, 12 years ago. And I remember meeting him, we were chatting and stuff, and I got time to start doing this, make this extract. And he started doing a whole ceremony, started painting us, you know, white and red and, on our faces. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, wow, this guy's pretty deep. And he ended up bringing out this garden-sized trash bag of medicine that he had gotten from his family's village to make this batch. So we worked throughout the day, and I got to know Maginda and started had a couple of ceremonies with him, and then heard that he was training a few people to become iboga providers. And so I asked him if I could do that as well, and he said yes, even though looking back I wasn't even close to ready, but he still said yes, maybe because we were friends. But
That's awesome.
but so I started you know, starting small, cleaning the puke buckets and, you know, taking people to the bathroom, and like just got a lot of ceremonies under my belt. And consistently he's teaching, he's a great teacher. And then the Bwiti essentially look, listen, and follow. So watch him do what he does and follow what he does, and like learn everything that he's doing. And you know, initially, you know, once you become an iboga provider and you get that blessing from to do that, like you're kind of wondering, you know, if you've seen him work before. Like this is very serious, lifelong shaman that's been training since he was like 8 years old. And you know, and you're wondering, like, you know, he goes back to Africa and there is a ceremony to do. You're wondering if it's still gonna work, you know, like is the iboga still gonna work? But yeah, the way he's taught us to do it and to create the space and do all the right things, you know, to keep people physically safe, spiritually safe. Yeah, it does work. So we know in the Bwiti, even, you know, iboga is the real teacher. That's where, you know, the healing happens, the wisdom, all of it. So it's really just about creating the right space for that to happen. You know, it's like when you cut your finger, if you keep it clean and protect it and don't let it get infected, it's going to heal on its own. And that's kind of similar with the iboga experience, you know, creating the right settings for people to go in deep inside themselves and guide them along the way to just get to know what it is they want in life. You know, in the Bwiti, we talk about the two most important things are knowing ourselves and knowing what we want in life. And iboga is just the best tool for knowing that. And once we know ourselves and know what we do want, there's no more confusion in life. You know, we know who we are and what we're going after and what we need to be doing. So that's kind of the, you know, that's a big part of the path, figuring out those two things.
Yeah, wow, absolutely. Beautiful. Well said. And it's funny you use that analogy of cutting your finger. We use that all the time in naturopathic medicine because
Okay, cool.
our bodies are have an innate ability to heal themselves. You know, it's like when the surgeon does the, you know, cut, he's not repairing that. Our body repairs and kind of, you know, heals and does all the magic that, you know, healing the skin and all of that stuff that goes on. So it's just about getting the obstacles out of the way, and then our body does its own healing, you know? And so there's powerful tools out there like this wonderful plant, like so many others out there that can help us in this journey. But ultimately, it's all within us. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, "I am not your healer. I'm just holding space for you while you awaken your inner healer so that you can heal yourself."
Yeah,
You
nice.
know, and that's basically what you guys are doing, and you know what I hope to do with patients, and it'd be a dream of mine one day to open a naturopathic type, you know, psychedelic type of retreat somewhere one day. So I'm really honored
Nice,
and you know
cool.
grateful that you reached out because I do believe everything's for a reason, and you know it's a crazy, crazy life we're living in, crazy times right now, but I do think that It's a mass awakening that's happening, you know, and people are being forced to look within and to kind of look deeper and question some way deeper questions than they've ever questioned before. And that can be difficult. But you know, like they say in the psychedelic world, there is no bad trip. It could be difficult, but not bad, you know? And I think that's a lot of what's happening right now. It's pretty difficult times for a lot of people, or it has been. But I think that we're ultimately going towards this much more beautiful, healed, you know, community that we're all building here together. So I'm excited for the future.
Good. Me too, man. Me too. The adjustment period can be tough, but there's definitely, hate to use the word battle, but there's a struggle happening, and you know, Mother Nature is trying to wake us up, and you know, part of the way she does that is through the plants, and you know, through spiritual energetic energy. And so yeah, there's a definite shift going on, and yeah, man, you know, we're on the right side of it, you know. So yeah,
absolutely,
you're part of that as well. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So what else, Levi, what else is on your mind that you'd like to share? Or maybe an interesting, if you have like a specific like case study of somebody that was like a really amazing healing story, I'd love to hear something like that.
Yeah. You know, I mean the deepest one. So, you know, we do have people, when people come here, they have to do a medical questionnaire, and there's some medications that can't be taken with Iboga, or some conditions, and people need to kind of be stable, but and really want it for themselves. But there's been people that have were at their last rope, you know, they thought about suicide, and you know, they were there, and this was kind of, you know, their last hope on it. And so whenever they, you know, email or message or call back, there was a guy from Israel that messaged me like 2 days ago, and you know, he was in the Israeli army, and so I think he saw some stuff. He didn't quite share all of what it was about, but it was some traumatic things, and he was in a really dark place, and he was able to shift his life around. Now he's getting married, and his parents back home, like, you know, said, oh wow, it's like our son is back. And there's a lot of that, of people like just letting go of old trauma that's been hurting them for a long time. Like you know, I know one woman had kind of a hand in her little, when her little brother died, and like it followed her around for, you know, she was just a kid and it was an accident, but she could never quite let it go. And she was able to fully let it go. And, you know, when that, you know, things that happened to us in the past, like there's just no changing that, you know, as good as us humans are, like, I just don't think we'll ever be able to go out back in the past and change anything. So yeah, Iboga leads to an acceptance of what is, and you know, we can fully understand it, learn what we need to from there, but then at some point we got to let it go, because if we don't, we're just hurting ourselves, we're just, you know, dragging ourselves down. And so a lot of you know, old trauma, you know, parents can be a big one. You know, let's face it, all of our parents that raised us didn't, you know, they did the best they could at the time, but that doesn't mean they were in a spot where they could fully teach their kids, you know, the right things. And so, you know, that gets ingrained into us when we're young, and Iboga gives us the opportunity to like come out of that and realize that we get to make our own decisions now, and you know, what's happened is done. And you know, it sounds easy, you know, it's not, it's a lot of hard work, but with Iboga, it's definitely possible. And so, yeah, so that's why, you know, it has such a good reputation for really helping people, you know. And with that said, you know, you have to go somewhere where people know how to work with it, you know, and like have a system that they work within, you know, At least here, you know, we're not like making up what we do. There's like a set system and how we do things, and you know, try and keep it simple and direct. And you know, there's some esoteric stuff, but you know, that's not the bulk of where the healing happens. You know, so yeah, just amazed and blessed to be working with the medicine and just seeing people's lives transform like every time we have in a retreat. And so, yeah, it's really, really beautiful. And thank you for allowing me to spread the word of Iboga. Like, you know, it used to be way more underground. It's coming out now, being known for all these human things that we have, you know, all the human experience and our emotions, decisions, you know, our own mind. Like, yeah, it's just really amazing for putting us all back together and giving us that clean slate.
Of course, yeah, I'm happy to help spread the word. That's, you know, one of the reasons I started this podcast is I just love talking about topics that are stigmatized, I realized. I love talking about cannabis and psychedelics and sexuality and, you know, natural health and kind of all those things, you know, come together. And you know, I just like waking people up, basically. I like getting people to realize, like, hey, there's a different way to think about this stuff. That, you know, like with cannabis, I didn't touch it until I was 26 years old because I was bought into the whole reefer madness and, you know, this is a terrible drug and all that stuff. And then I woke up one day and started digging more into it and was like, whoa. And ever since then, I haven't, you know, come out of the rabbit hole. And, you know, with I've talked to countless numbers of people, hundreds and hundreds, whoever will listen to me, I've talked about cannabis. And then now in the last few years, I've gotten more passionate about psychedelics. And now I talk to everybody about psychedelics and how they can really help you. And hey, you should look into it more. And, you know, so I have that kind of natural passion and strength of just like voicing and getting things out there. You know, I'm come from a sales background, and so that's just naturally my personality to want to get people to, you know, to get into certain things, and it happens to be that my intentions are really good and I want to heal people and help people, so everybody wins.
No, that's it. That's it, man. Yeah, introduce people to these things, and you know, everybody needs to do their own research. But yeah, no, people, you know, somebody will hear about Iboga, or probably quite a few people will hear about Iboga through this here and not realize that it was even out there. So yeah, no, good job, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you have any last minute parting words here on your mind? I really enjoyed speaking with you, Levi, and hope to meet in person one day. I'd love to come down to Costa Rica, or if you're ever up here in California, please hit me up. But yeah, anything else before we go?
Yeah, no, our website is ibogawellness.com that anybody would like to check it out. And yeah, no, thanks so much for having me on and being able to spread the gift of Iboga. And so, yeah, best wishes to you and blessings to your audience.
Thank you so much.